welcome back to The Language of God.
My name is Stephen De La Cruz, and I am the friend of God.
Today, I continue with part 3, The Nine Gifts, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gift of healings, the gift of miracles, and the gift of prophecy, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. These gifts, these abilities come with supernatural power and authority. I will address why they have been given to us and how they should be used in our everyday life, both in the spiritual application and the practical application. So we are on the gift of healings. And as I said earlier, I'm just going to briefly touch on this. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were possessed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, the gift of healings is given to us to deliver people from sickness, diseases, demonic possession, physical and mental abnormalities. And this is just to mention a few. It doesn't end there. Yet many often mistake that having the gift of healings would give them power to heal everyone that is sick. There is an underlying belief that if you have the gift of healings, you should heal everyone. I have heard, and it has been told to me by some people, if you really have the gift of healings, you should enter a hospital. Just walk on in there and heal everyone there if you truly have the gift of healings. And I'm sure many of you out there that are listening have thought this, or maybe someone has even said that to you, that if your God is so great, why doesn't he heal everyone? Why can't you heal everyone? Well, I want you to remember that there is a balance that we must have between our natural existence and our spiritual existence. And this is speaking to us as followers of Christ. I addressed this in the first part of the nine gifts. So if you would like to go back there and listen, I do address us being balanced and living in this natural world and living in the spiritual world at the same time. Now, in the book of John, chapter 5, verses 5, let's see how Jesus dealt with this question of healing everyone that you see. So John chapter 5, verse 5, we're going to start there. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Verse 2, inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches, crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, laid on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. Now, verse 6. When Jesus saw him, he knew he had been ill for a long time. He asked him, "Would you like to get well?" Verse 8. Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Verse 9. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Now, did you notice that it said crowds of sick people lay around that pool? But Jesus healed only one. Did you see that? Only one. There were so many people that were ill, but he only healed one. Why? If you have the gift of healings, why not just heal everyone there? The answer is found in John chapter 5, verse 19. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." You see, God chooses who he will heal and when. When you operate in these gifts, you must know when to use them and when not to use them. And I know that many of you that are listening right now have prayed for people to be healed and they weren't. And there's a reason. And I will speak to this in more detail as I continue this teaching in premium access. Okay, remember now
the order in which the gifts operate. First to operate is faith, then wisdom, then knowledge. So by the time you get to healing, for the gift of healing to activate, you should have the faith necessary for whatever God has called you to. You should have the mystery revealed to you of whom you will be healing and why and when, because that's the gift of wisdom. And then third, you're going to know how to lay hands, to pray, to use whatever means that the Holy Spirit has decided for you to operate in. So those three have to be operating right off the bat before you get to the gift of healing. So if for whatever reason you decide to bypass all these other three and say, hey, you know, I'm going to just go straight because I've used this healing before and I know all I have to do is lay hands and say in the name of Jesus and they'll be healed, and you do that and they are not healed, then you need to stop and ask yourself, wait a minute, am I doing what the Holy Spirit wants me to do, or is this just me? So remember, God chooses who He will heal and when. And when you are operating in these gifts, you must also know who to lay hands on and pray for, and who not to lay hands on and who not to pray for. I will speak on the gift of healings in more detail in Premium Access. Now let's move on. The gift of miracles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. Now the literal Greek translation of this passage is operations of works of power. Imagine for a moment the power of God operating in you, the power that set the universe in motion. That same power in you by the Spirit of God to do great deeds and wonders. John chapter 14, verse 12 says it like this, and this is Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. So Jesus made it clear, you and I are going to be able to do those same works of power that He did, and we will be able to do greater works. Now today, we use the word miracle or miracles for just about anything. It does not carry the same weight, the same power or authority it once did. But here's an example of what a miracle looks like. It can be found in Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was filled with fury, and his face became dark with anger. He commanded that the furnace be heated up 7 times hotter than usual, and called for some of the strongest men of his army to bind Daniel and his companions. Here is a little backstory on what is going on. King Nebuchadnezzar had made a statue of himself 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and commanded that everyone bow to this statue and worship. But Daniel and his companions would not bow, because they would only bow to their God. And this is the reason they find themselves in this situation of being thrown into a furnace of fire. So they were bound tight with ropes and thrown into the furnace fully clothed. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded that the furnace be heated so hot and so quickly, the flames leaped out of the furnace. And as the soldiers threw Daniel and his companions into the furnace, the flames leaped out and killed the soldiers as they drew near. Daniel and his companions fell to the ground within the furnace, surrounded by the roaring of flames. As the king was watching, he jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we throw 3 men into the furnace?" "Yes," they said, "we did indeed, your majesty." "Well, look, I see 4 men unbound walking around in the fire, and they aren't even hurt by the flames. And the 4th one looks like a god." Now, this is a miracle. a work of power, a thing that should not be possible, made possible. So the gift of miracles are the operation of works of power, a thing not possible, made possible. And I will speak in more detail on the gift of miracles in Premier Access. Now let's move on. The gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. To another, prophecy. Understand that the gift of prophecy found here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is not the prophecy ministries and shows you see on television or the internet that teach on biblical prophecy. Those ministries and shows are people giving insight on biblical, on scriptural prophecy found in the Old Testament and New Testament. They look at what is going on in the earth today, and using biblical prophecy, they interpret the prophetic scriptures to make a connection with the events of today and how they affect us on a spiritual level and on a natural level. Understand that the gift of prophecy found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is different than what you are seeing when they are teaching biblical prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the ability to have insight of future events, things to come, whether by utterance, which means that you'll speak a word, or by dreams, visions, just to name a few ways prophecy works in our lives. Now, prophecy reveals future events that will take place. Either those events are written in stone and this will happen, or prophecy can be used as a warning of what may happen. One of its purposes is to help the church, an individual, and you prepare for coming events so that you can intervene as God has purposed to help you be in the right place at the right time. Let me share an example of how the gift of prophecy can work in your everyday life without having to look at the headlines or listen to a news network or be at church and surrounded by all the saints of God as you worship. Here is an example how the gift of prophecy can work in an everyday life. It was a Friday afternoon and I was finishing up working in this particular hospital in Detroit, Michigan, which is a city in the United States of America. This was years ago when I was a much younger man. I had come home from work and went about my day with my wife and children. It was the end of the work week for me. It was a Friday. As the day finished and we were preparing dinner, playing with the kids, and eventually getting ready for bed, I remember having a sense of something about to happen in the spiritual realm. The senses of my spirit had been awakened, and I knew something was going on or about to happen. But I was busy with helping my wife and playing with my children, and just so busy with the thoughts of the week I had just finished working. So I did not stop to listen to the Holy Spirit or seek of the Holy Spirit an answer. Finally, everyone was in bed, and as I lay in my bed, closing my eyes, I said a prayer that went like this: God, protect us and give us a sweet rest. I know it's just a simple prayer. As I fell asleep, I opened my spiritual eyes and found myself sitting at my kitchen table drinking coffee. It was Saturday morning the very next day. I had a clear view of the front street as I looked out the bay window of my home. I glanced at the clock on the wall. It was about 10 a.m. As I sat there drinking my coffee, I saw a white van coming down the street from my left side. It passed my home, my house, and continued to the next block, where I saw it stop and a group of people exited the van. As I watched this happening, the Spirit of God said, "Do you see these people?" I said, "Yes." "Look, there is a woman in that group who is my daughter. I will bring her here to you. When she comes, I want you to tell her I miss her and to come home. Her name is Mary." I said to the Spirit of God, You know that these people stay together when they go out witnessing, and they will not allow her to be alone. Then the Spirit of God said to me, I will cause them to separate from her for a moment, and I will bring her to you. Then I said, I will do as you say. I woke up early that Saturday morning. I prepared a cup of coffee and went and sat down at our kitchen table. It was about 9 a.m. I sat there quietly waiting to see what would happen. Around 10 a.m., a white van came driving down the street from my left. It passed my house and stopped at the next block. I saw a group of people exit the van just as I saw in the dream. The people moved out in pairs, moving from home to home. I saw a younger woman in the group who I recognized as Mary because I saw her the night before. But she was walking with an older woman going from home to home, witnessing. I sat there drinking my coffee and watching to see what would happen. Mary and this older woman passed my house and crossed the street. I saw them knock at the door at a house across the street. Someone answered and they began talking to them. I looked away for a moment to take a sip of my coffee. And when I looked back, I saw Mary crossing the street heading to my house. As she came walking up my walkway to my front door, I rushed to the door to meet her. I opened the door as she stepped up onto my porch. I looked her in the eyes and I said, "Hi, Mary. It's good to meet you." She looked at me in amazement and she asked, "How do you know my name?" And I told her this story that I am sharing with you right now and what God said. And I said to her, "Mary, God misses you and wants you to come home." It was that simple, just that, those simple words. As I said those words, the older woman came running and stepped between us and said, "Don't speak to her." She began yelling at me and calling me all kinds of names and saying that I was some kind of wolf in sheep's clothing. I was a hypocrite. I was a false man of God. But I did not look away from Mary. The woman grabbed Mary and pulled her away from the door. Looking at me with hatred, the older woman began to walk away. And that older woman stopped at the bottom of my porch steps and wiped the dirt off her shoes as she looked at me with this anger. As I watched them walk away, Mary took one last look at me. Now, prophecy is the ability to have insight of future events, things to come. They can be incredibly detailed, as I just shared with you, or you can get a big picture of everything that's going on. And for each of us, it's going to be different as the Holy Spirit desires for you. You may see it just as I did in every single detail. You may know the person's name. You may even see their face and be able to recognize them in a crowd. Or you may just get the big picture of a great event that's coming to the earth, or something that may happen to a church or to a city. So the gift of prophecy is the ability that is given to us by the Holy Spirit to have an insight of future events and things to come. And it helps us to prepare for what will happen and how to deal with that event, as you just heard with what happened in my particular experience. Now, I never saw Mary again, but I did deliver the message God asked me to. And this is what's important. You know, it is not your job or my job that once God gives us a word to share, a word of prophecy, or using one of the other gifts, healing or miracles, it is not our job to follow after and find out if the miracle worked or if the miracle holds or if the healing worked or if the healing holds or if the word of prophecy comes to pass or not. That's not our job. That's not your job. Your job is just, as you heard what God shared with me, I want you to tell her this. That was it. That was all that was asked of me. Just tell her this, and God will do the rest. And how do I know that God will do the rest? Well, God did exactly what he said. He said, I'm going to separate them, and then I'm going to bring her to you. And all I want you to do is say this to her. So God did everything he said he would do. So remember, when you're using the gifts and as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you to do something that's so simple, so strange maybe, that's all you have to do. You don't have to follow after it to see if it comes to pass. You don't need to explain it to that person why it's so strange, because as I teach the language of God, and God speaks to each of us in our own language. So in Mary's language, just that simple sentence to her that, Mary, God misses you and wants you to come home. That was her language, and God knew that. And that's all that needed to be said to her, because we don't know. Maybe Mary was struggling and praying and asking God, am I in the right place? God, speak to me. We don't know. I don't know. And so as you're using the gifts, don't step on the toes of the Holy Spirit. I know how that sounds, but a lot of people do that. Another way of saying it is, don't quench the Spirit of God. Don't get him upset. Don't insult him, because God knows what is going on in that person's life. God knows what needs to be done. You and I, if we are faithful and understanding the language of God, then all we need to do is just speak the word, just do what is asked of us, and let God handle the rest. Now, as I said, I never saw Mary again, but I did deliver the message that God asked me to. And I am sure she came back home to God. And I will see her one day when we are walking in heaven. And boy, will that be a conversation that I will have with her on that day. This time, the gift of prophecy worked in my dreams and showed me the events of the next day. Prophecy is one of those gifts that's very exciting. It's an ability to see future events. The gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is not about looking at scripture and attempting to connect those scriptures to today's events. That is biblical prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the ability to have insight of future events. The gift of prophecy works by utterance, writings, dreams, visions, to name a few ways that it will work. These prophetic events may be taking place in that moment as a prophetic gift is operating in you, or they may take place at a set time in the future. It helps the church, it helps the individual, it helps you prepare for future events. Another purpose of the gift of prophecy is to warn and encourage the unbeliever. That's right. You will get insight of future events that are happening or will happen in an unbeliever's life, where you're at work, you're just working every day, and you see a fellow person there that you know they're not a Christian, that they're an unbeliever. But all of a sudden, the gift of prophecy works in you, and your thoughts, your mind, your dreams, your visions, your writings, your utterance, all of a sudden inside you, as you're looking at them, you realize, hey, go over and say this to that person. Be aware that that's the Holy Spirit working in you. And for you to have received that word, the gift of faith had to be activated, then the gift of wisdom, then the gift of knowledge. So if this is happening to you, understand that the gifts are working in your life. You don't have to be jumping up and down. You don't have to have a glory cloud, thunder and lightning, or worship music going in the back. You don't have to be fasting all day or fasting for a whole week. You don't have to be this holy, righteous, pure individual. God will use you just the way you are if you are willing. The gift of prophecy helps you be in the right place at the right time. As I close, Paul desired that the church flow in spiritual gifts. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul desired that you as an individual would flow in these spiritual gifts. As I said, you can find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 1, and just continue to read on. And a lot of people that read that chapter always stop here when it says, let love be your greatest aim. And the greatest of these is love. And they stop right there. But Paul continues. So they stop here, but Paul's not done speaking. The thought is not done. Paul continues, and here's what he says. Nevertheless, so he's made this clear. Love is your greatest aim. You want to get to that position. But nevertheless, so whenever you see that, there's more. So here's what Paul is saying. Ask also for these special abilities the Holy Spirit gives, and especially the gift of prophecy, being able to share the messages of God, being able to share the mysteries of God. So there's more that Paul says to us. Hey, I know that a lot of ministers and teachers stop at, oh, the greatest is love. You know, that's what we need. And for now, everything we kind of do, it's like looking through a glass darkly, and you can't see everything properly. And so we just have to chase after love. Well, Paul didn't say it that way. And you can go read this yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, start at verse 1. And he will say, the greatest of these is love. And then he says, but nevertheless, I want you to ask. And if you remember, what did Jesus said? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open. So we are to ask for these special abilities. And I know many of you out there have asked and nothing has happened. But here's the thing. Be faithful in asking, and don't grow tired and weary of doing good. Because in due season, you will reap what you have sown. All those tears, all that time asking, all that time seeking, it's going to come back to you. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to come back to you in a great abundance, more than you have imagined of what it will be like. So don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop knocking. The gift of prophecy is a powerful gift to have. And it's an exciting one. For those who would like to gain a deeper understanding of the 9 gifts I teach, I will be creating a premier access portal at my website. There I will be able to go into more detail as I share a deeper understanding of the 9 gifts. I will explain how that gift operates, how to receive that gift, and how to use that gift. I hope this podcast has been a blessing in your life. Join me on my next podcast as I continue with the 9 gifts, as I conclude with the 9 gifts, the last 3 gifts, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it with one person this week. Encourage others to listen to the 9 gifts. If you have any comments, you can connect with me at Facebook or by email. You can find this information at my website, thelanguageofgod.net. When contacting me, please include the podcast title you are commenting on. Laugh again, smile again, believe again. Together, we will finish this race. Now go and enjoy your life. I encourage you to live. Break free of the things holding you back and live. Shake off the chains that hold you down. Rise up. Dust yourself off and get back into the race. If you thirst for life, come and drink from the river of life and live again. I invite you to drink from the river of life and live again. Have a great day, and remember, you are not alone.